Hello, I'm Kerry Lonergan. Welcome to the Weekly Grill. It's brought to you by Beef Central and Elanco Animal Health. Today's guest on the grill is Ross Fraser. He's been a truckie all his life. Together with his brothers and his mum and dad, they started Fraser's Livestock Transport Industries. That started way back in 1944. It's now known throughout Australia. Ross Fraser, welcome to the grill.
Thank you, Kerry.
How do you like it? Rare, medium, or well done? Which one?
Medium rare. I'm a medium rare person, Kerry.
I'm still waiting for the first person to say well done, but I don't think I'll find one on this program for a while. Now, your mum and dad started the business way back in 1944, before you were born, in fact. Now, from what you've been told, you must have been riding shotgun on trucks at a very young age.
A very young age, Kerry. As a matter of fact, probably in the basket in those days, yeah, in the front seat of the truck with mum and dad.
That first truck was a Ford, was it?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, Lend-Lease Ford, as Dad described it. And that was, as you said, in 1944, September 1944, in fact.
Was it a, I would assume it was a five-tonner?
Yes, five-tonner, that's right, with a body on it about 15 feet long.
Well, what did you carry in those days?
He started, of all things, carting a bit of bag wheat and sawn timber and a post, fence posts and whatever, but he started for a customer going around collecting chooks off dairy farms. He put a wire netting over his grate and collected these chooks, and then took them to an abattoir at the Woolloongabba in Brisbane.
At the Gabba, right. Next to the cricket ground, just about.
That's right, near the cricket ground it was,
so
yes.
Taking chooks from big farming country up there, the other side of the Toowoomba, to the Gabba, wow.
Yeah, other side of Warwick, sorry. You know, in those days, Kerry, you know, there were probably 200 dairy farms around the Warwick district. It's now down to about six, which is understandable given the circumstances, but, yeah, most people... You know, had small operations. Their main income was dairying and disposing of their older cows.
And lots of cows and calves to carry around. And I would suspect lots of dirt roads.
Oh, lots of dirt roads. Yeah, incredible. And you know, 30 miles or 60K west of Warwick was dirt.
And the bane of my life when I was riding on a truck as a kid were the gates, lots of gates as well, I would guess.
Lots of gates. Spent a lot of time being the chief gate opener.
Yes, that was the plight assigned to young boys in the shotgun seat of the truck. Now, your first foray into livestock at any long distance, do you remember that?
Yes, well... Dad was alive, he could tell better stories, I guess, but the business developed from 1944 and in about 8 or 10 years, Mum and Dad had four kids. I was the oldest of those four, three boys and a girl. The third one was a girl, and it was accepted thing from particularly Dad that the three boys would stay in the business and carry it on. So as we left school, we came into the business, did a bit of mechanic work and until we were old enough to get a licence, and then the three of us drove for quite a while.
Now, the first semi-trailer the firm got was when?
Well, the first semi-trailer we got would have been in the 60s. You know, started with a 32-footer, then 34, then 36, and developed now, of course, into, you know, multiple trailers as we pull, 40-foot. 12.5-metre trailers, multiple trailers. We've just developed with time, I guess, and built the business from now having 50-odd prime movers and 150 trailers.
So from one Ford truck up to 50 Kenworths, that's amazing.
That's right. And the bulk of that expansion has occurred since probably the mid-80s when we expanded into to Gundawindi, Roma, and Dalby, and then Rockhampton. So we've got a few depots around the place.
Now I want to get to what is actually going on in the business at the moment, but I'll take you back to the 70s, the great cattle price crash of 1974. What sort of impact did that have on the livestock transport business?
Oh, it had a huge impact. a huge impact, as I recall. And we went through some tough times in the 70s, as no doubt a lot of people did in associated with across the board industry. But it was very tough, very tough. As a matter of fact, my father said to me, "I think we might sell the business." And he's recorded as saying, "The look on my face told him that perhaps that's not the best thing to do."
And you battled through it and got back on top.
We did. We battled through like all companies do in tough times. We battled through and pulled it back together, and here we are today.
Now, one of the challenges of the trucking business, especially the stock transport industry, has always been truck utilisation. Truck deliver cattle in one direction but come back home empty. Can industry do anything to reduce this inefficiency?
Well, we've tried to do a lot in that respect to reduce our empty running. But as you say, in good times cattle go one way, and in bad times they go the other. It doesn't always link. It's there. I mean, the average loaded kilometres for any given day for a livestock transport business is probably about 48% to 50%. So when we've managed to increase ours to slightly above that, perhaps to the late 50s, 60%, but you have to really work on it. And marrying jobs in with other jobs is not easy, but it is possible. And because of our geographic location around Queensland, that makes it a little bit easier.
You go much, much further than Queensland. We'll talk about that later. But I have to go to the industry, arguably at the moment, is the most exposed of all parts of the beef industry to public scrutiny because you're out there on the public roads. How has the stock transport industry responded to changing consumer expectations about animal welfare and their transport?
I think that the industry has responded well, very well. You know, where most of the livestock trucks you see in the road these days are airbag suspension, and which makes the ride a lot easier for livestock and for drivers, for that matter. The animal welfare laws, the industry as a whole has had a lot to do with that putting that regulation together. So we've had a lot of input into that around Australia, and hence it's been something that something has been developed that we can live with, obviously the welfare of the animals is a prime concern for everyone in the livestock transport industry. Yeah. And but loading densities, you know, the most important thing, I think, apart from looking after the animals, is the loading densities, Kerry. They must be right.
Yes, that's true. They have reduced quite a bit over the years, haven't they? I want to talk to you about the onboard effluent collection system that are currently in trailers. How important have they been in overcoming public criticism about manure from cattle spraying out of trailers on the highway and through towns especially? Does the system work well at the moment?
Well, it does work well. Let's say it works better than without the effluent tanks. But having said that, there's still challenges there. The effluent tanks fill up very quickly if in cases where livestock haven't been curfewed long enough. They fill up very quickly. And the really challenging issue we've got is to where to dump that effluent. There are no sites anywhere in Queensland where you can dump that effluent, no road sites. We have been working with Transport and Main Roads in Queensland to put a couple of sites somewhere, but it's certainly a challenge. It's a real challenge. But the effluent tanks, whilst they're not compulsory in Queensland, a lot of companies that are running in the build-up areas have fitted them.
Yeah, that is a major problem. One doesn't think of that, what happens to the end product, but you have got a challenge on your hands there, haven't you?
We have. It's certainly a huge challenge, as I said, particularly running in build-up areas.
Now, 20 or 30 years ago, Ross, bruising in particular was a huge issue in the beef industry, causing big discounts on carcasses at abattoirs. It does not seem to be anywhere near as bad today. What has driven that? Yard designs or maybe help on the transport part of it?
I think it's a contribution from all sections of the industry. As a well-known abattoir owner here in Warwick said to me years ago, we'll never totally eliminate it, but as long as everyone's aware of it, we can go a long way to stop it or reduce it. So, again, the loading densities and the handling of cattle, yard design certainly, more double-deck ramps, that's certainly helped to reduce bruising. As you say, it's not as prevalent as what it was a few years ago.
Let's take a short break now to hear a message from our podcast partner, Elanco Animal Health. This podcast is brought to you by Trisulfan, the only product that provides four-way wound care for calves following common animal husbandry practices. Trisulfan is scientifically proven to deliver immediate and long-lasting pain relief, minimize bleeding, protect against infection, and assist wound healing. Contact Elanco and find out why Trisulfan is a better choice for pain relief in calves. I'm speaking with Ross Fraser on the grill. Ross is part of Fraser's livestock transport industry. And how much would you think, Ross, is the outcome in terms of condition of cattle at the end of a long transport load? How much is that due to driver performance and attitude towards their load?
Oh, it plays a huge part, Gary. A huge part. I mean, we do what we can to educate our drivers as much as we can. We've recently run a school in cattle handling for our drivers. We're running another one in April. The industry's running another one in April in Roma. And we're getting some graziers and feedlot owners involved in that. Matter of fact, North Australian Pastoral Company have helped us a lot in running those. It's crucial. The livestock handling side of it is crucial. In fact, you know, what we adopt in our company is if we get a person come looking for a job and they may not be the best driver, but they're a good livestock handler, we can teach them how to drive, but it's pretty damn hard to teach them how to handle cattle if they've got no idea.
That's so true. Now, attracting labour has been a big issue right across rural Australia, I suspect, but in the beef supply chain, including cattle production and meat processing, it's also in transport, is the same as other areas of the industry, and what's being done to attract good drivers to the industry?
Well, it's very difficult, really, and as you rightly say, we're going through a period the last two or three years where it's been very difficult to get staff, whether it be mechanics, you know, across all facets of our industry. Staff are very, very hard to get. And, you know, and if you can't get the right staff, Terry, you're better off to really just park your truck because they're so important to your business. They're your ambassadors on the road, your ambassadors on clients' properties. And so the right person, the wrong person can do you more damage. If you can't get the right one, you're better off just to park your truck.
Well, that's a strong statement, but so true. Now, Fraser's, of course, was the originator of the cross-loading platform some years ago. How successful has that been, Ross? Has it been adopted more widely in the industry?
Well, yes and no. There are not many of them around. We've got three ourselves at three of our depots, but they've just, as you probably know, we won the national gong, workplace health and safety gong, for the design of that cross loader ramp. Kerry, it just takes the danger out of cross loading cattle and cross loading cattle from truck to truck, where the driver does not have to be with the cattle at all. It's a dangerous practice, cross-loading cattle from trailer to trailer, but the cross-loader ramp just makes it so much easier and indeed much more efficient and so much safer for your people.
Well done to Fraser for that, Ross. Now, we all know, of course, the trucks are now bigger, faster, stronger than ever. Are they safer and why?
Kerry, they're much safer. I mean, we choose to use Kenworth, and we have done for quite a number of years. But there are a lot of, you know, most all trucks on the road are safe these days. But their handling capability is much safer. much safer for the drivers, more comfortable for the drivers. It's amazing, really. They like driving a car, a luxury car, in some respects these days, and drivers love them.
Now, a topic close to home, or at least on the Downs, the Inland Rail, which comes up through New South Wales and into Queensland, it's coming soon, and we all know there are going to be a lot of level crossings in areas where large cattle trucks operate. Is this a possible danger? Or at least a major problem?
It certainly will, but I don't see that as a major problem. You know, if the level crossings aren't observed properly, it could be a safety issue. But no, I mean, the short answer is no. I don't see that as a huge problem.
Now, a big question, of course, the cost of operating. How challenging is the cost of operating today's stock transport industry? How much of that is driven by diesel prices?
Oh, well, it's certainly, you know, diesel prices and wages take up about 55 to 60% of your costs. And thankfully, diesel prices have been lower in the last 12 months, but they're on an upward spiral now, diesel is. But, yeah, it's a huge component of our costs, and which is, you know, which makes it important that the more loaded kilometres you can do, the more efficient you are.
Now, put your crystal ball out there, Ross. What lies ahead for the stock transport industry over the next 10 or 20 years?
I think obviously it will depend on the viability of our customers, but you know, and everything's pointing towards that being strong. The current cattle prices, whilst they are very, very good, is a little bit scary, I suppose, because you know, it rains after every drought, and after every cattle price hike, it probably falls off. So, but you've got to be positive about these things, Kerry, and you know, there are a lot of smart people in the grazing industry who are investing for the future. So that gives us a lot of confidence.
I'll take you back now, Ross, to one of your most unusual loads. You took more than 6,000 pigs from just on the Darling Downs here way up to Darwin. Tell us about that trip.
Well, that was a challenge, Kerry. That was in the late 80s. A customer here on the Downs sold 6,500 pigs that went to West Kalimantan by the port in Darwin, and we took them up in 6 lifts, PVC troughs in each pen in the trailers. It was a challenge, but
did you have to feed and water them on the way?
Yes, we watered them. The first trip we fed them, but the pigs, we got travel sickness after feeding them, so we didn't feed them on the trip, just watered them. You know, two drivers or three trucks with 5 drivers. 54 hours from Toowoomba to Darwin, straight through.
I can't imagine 6,000 pigs on trucks. It's just a great story. How many pigs to the deck, incidentally?
About 80. And the Jones family who bred the pigs were very very stringent. And once the pigs, they put the pigs together in pens, because pigs, as you probably know, you know, will fight and kill a strange animal in a pen. So they put after they were weaned, they put them in a pen together, and they stayed in that pen until they got to the boat in Darwin.
You've got a lot of wonderful stories, Russ Fraser, including starting from one Ford truck to 50 Kenworths. Congratulations, you're an icon of the industry, and thanks for being on The Grill.
Thank you, Kerry. Thanks for the opportunity.
And thank you for joining me today. Until next time, I'm Kerry Lonigan, and this is The Weekly Grill, brought to you by Beef Central and our podcast partner, Elanco Animal Health.